thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being in your service. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen and amen. Praise God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, brethren and sistren on the worship team. Aren't they awesome? Praise God. There's so much goes on behind the scenes, you know, in this house. And we're just building and building and building. And it's amazing. Sometimes it's happening more often now. When I'm in the spirit, I'm in the new place. It's kind of crazy. I mean, this place is bigger with my eyes shut than it is with my eyes open. And it's like what God is going to do. It's like, woo. And it's just really, you know, God gives us places like that, just like a trophy. That's what it is. It will be a trophy building. You know what a trophy building is? You walk in and you see a place and it's like, wow, it hits you like that. Well, that's what happened to the Queen of Sheba when she went into Solomon's palace. Bible says she just passed out. Imagine if people just come into that new place. Jesus, whoa, boom. Wouldn't that be cool? We have to have a scraping up ministry, special ushers just to drag people. Praise God. Please take your seats. Thank you, everybody, for praying for me as I went to Cameroon. I was just sharing with one of the prayer team this morning that, you know, five weeks ago, I didn't even know I was going. And now I'm back. Praise Jesus. Isn't God good? And our planes were supposed to kiss on the runway, me and Joey, because Joey was flying to Denmark 15 minutes before I was due to land. But my plane was 8 hours late. Air France. Jesus is Lord. In fact, when I was going through customs, I was telling the half night Friday night, when I was going through customs, if they would stop me and, you know, they ask you, sir, do you have anything to declare? I was going to say, yeah, don't fly Air France. But I'm yet to write to them, hallelujah. So they might give me a plane free one day. Who knows? Jesus is Lord. Amen. I want to just share some of the testimony first about it. Some of you who at the half night, you heard the story of how God showed me the particular woman to pray for. I didn't know who she was. She turns out that she was like the major linchpin coordinator for all the ministries that were there. And I brought her a prophetic word that was so strong because God showed me a couple of things about her and then he stopped. And then as I shared what God had shared with me, suddenly the spirit of prophecy came on me. And to this day, I don't know what I said. I would have to rewind the video and find out what I actually said to her. But by the time I finished, she was like a crying mess on the floor, on her knees and just, you know, etc. And God said, anoint her. So she was like, she was not coherent enough then to share the testimony of what God had used me to say to her. So anyway, the next day I was going into the little green room they had for pastors who were going to be ministering. And two of the pastors came in and they said, did you hear this woman's testimony? I said, no, because like I didn't know her. I didn't even know where she went after I prophesied over her. And they said, yeah, she said, like, she was a mess for the whole day. And she was, like, afterwards, she was afraid, like, she was rewinding everything that she had been saying that day on the way to the meeting. Because what she told them was, like, I had been in the back seat of her car on the way to the meeting. So strong and so accurate was the prophetic word. I was saying some things word for word that woman had been saying to her friend on the journey in to the auditorium. Isn't that good? So you got to, sometimes you have to look behind you and see who's sitting in your back seat. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. So that was the launch prophecy. And God told me, you know, like, start with her. And then I picked a brother out of the crowd and I said, the Lord shows me that you're apostolic in ministry and he's given you a pogo stick to go around the world. And you know what a pogo stick is? You remember what kids used to play on? Bounce, like boing, boing. And it uses your energy on a spring to launch off the floor and go somewhere else. And that was the ministry that God had given him. And I said, part of the frustration of your ministry is that when you're actually leaving the place, the stuff comes out of you, because I saw stuff coming out of his pocket, blessings landing on the people that he was leaving. And I said, sometimes more happens when you're away than when you're there. And it's like a frustration for you. I said, but it's God orchestrated. You carry on and push into the nations. Goodness me, I tell you, he's been in touch since. It was like, wow. He came to the hotel the next day. He sowed some seed into my life. Jesus is Lord. Paid for lunch for all the pastors that were sat around the table there. I mean, you know, the guy, like, his spirit just opened to me. And I know I've connected with him in the spirit. And I know we've got a lot in common ministry-wise. And he's in Montreal. So I'm going to Montreal in May. Glory to Jesus forever. Looking forward to that. And it's just been great. Just been absolutely wonderful. Dr. Richard Roberts was sharing with me concerning that, you know, how his ministry has been developing. And he saw one time his father prophesied over him that the crusade microphone would be taken out of his hands and a new microphone would be given to him. And that microphone would be a voice to speak and minister to pastors. So that's what we were doing. So there was 2,500 pastors in this Red Cross building in Yaoundé, Cameroon. And it was so, so powerful. I mean, the Lord said he's just going to upgrade their ministries. And that's exactly what happened. It was like upgrade, 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 upgrade. And like the testimonies that's going to come out of that is really amazing. God showed me as well that he's going to use many of them as an arrow of vengeance to minister into France. And the Lord showed me the spirit over France, that people, they conduct their lives as though they're never going to face judgment. And mate, I mean, some people, when they die, it's a shock. That suddenly there is a God, and he is a judge, and they're standing before him stark naked with all the deeds done in the flesh beforehand. Make sure that's not your testimony. Make sure you're clothed in the robes of righteousness before you get to heaven. Make sure your life is clean and your accounts with God are short. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, keep short accounts. It's an accounting thing. Keep it simple, baby, and it will be well with thee in Jesus' name. So that's Richard Roberts' ministry now. He's ministering a lot more to pastors. And his wife has just written about a book that I've ordered already. In fact, I think we've got a visual for it there, Mary Mags, on the thing. And it's like live your best, discover your true worth. And it's published by HarperCollins, who are the same group that do the New International Version. And you can pre-order it on Amazon. I think we're going to do it Book of the Month. I've ordered a copy for Joe as well. And we might do it Book of the Month as well here in the house. How many of you would be excited and buy it? Because if I see your hand, I'll buy a copy for you. And you can get it in the bookshop. Praise God. Okay. So that's about 20 PG. We'll go on Amazon. We'll order 20 copies of that. Glory to God. Wow. Okay, word time. If you have your Bible, turn with me, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 5. I want to minister to you today on the whole topic of superficiality. Nudge your neighbor and tell him to live a victorious life. We must disconnect from superficiality. Mate, that's really bad news for Instagrammers, isn't it? Lord God. God help Mr. Zuckerberg by the time I'm finished. Hallelujah. Superficiality. Look at what the Bible says. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 5. And then we're going to read the first line of number 6. It says this. Thus says the Lord, what injustice? So this is a question that God is asking. This is Jeremiah with the anointing of the Holy Spirit asking a question to the children of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? And they did not say, where is the Lord? Wow. It's a question. It's something that we all have to ponder on. Superficiality. Turn to your neighbor and tell them to get the best in life. Leave superficiality behind. I've noticed something about the way that God deals with his people. Psalm 42, and we're going to look at verse number 7. Psalm 42, 7. What does that scripture say? Deep calls to deep. I was reading that one time before I knew Jeremiah 2, 5, and 6 was there. I was reading that scripture in Psalm 42. I love Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water. I mean, we burned that song out in Ireland. I mean, we killed it and buried it cold. Virtually every meeting. Nick, do you remember that? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. Wow, what an amazing song. And then in verse 7, he says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. So there's a sound of depth. Depth has a sound. Truth has a sound. The difficulty is, you see, the superficial world has taught us to listen to certain voices and take what those voices are saying as truth, whether they're telling the truth or not. When they say, you know, in war, for instance, the first casualty is truth. Dude, that is so true. So true. I mean, 99.5% of everything that both sides have been saying about this whole conflict with Ukraine is lies. It's all propaganda. 99.5%. Isn't that insane? I remember through the whole Brexit campaign, I remember talking back to the TV so many times and saying, that's a lie. And I had the factual document evidence in my hand to prove it, and yet they didn't care. I mean, what kind of world was that? And that was the first time I realized, wow. You know, in John chapter 6, I don't know if I give you that scripture, Mary Mags. John chapter 6, I want to show you something that God showed me. Because if we're going to go deep, we have to get superficiality out of our minds. But that means also that we have to understand the difference between shallow and deep. And the only way to do that is to go deep with God. Because the Bible says deep calls unto deep. So if you're in the shallows, the deep can't talk to you. Because shallow talks to shallow. And that's what the Holy Spirit showed me through Psalm 42, verse 7. I was praying. And I was saying, wow, deep calls to deep. And then he interrupted me and he says, yes, and shallow calls to shallow too. He said, get shallowness out of your life in the name of Jesus. In fact, if your name is Shallow, do you know there's a surname Shallow? Change it. Change it to Deep. Shanice Depth. Shanice Blessed. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. And Dave's cousin said, amen. Praise God. John chapter 6, verse number 32. Imagine, I went to church Sunday, I got a new name. Glory to God. John chapter 6, verse number 32. Look at this. Now, I had never seen that what I was eating in terms of news and information and the kind of thing I had on my radio, I never knew that it was feeding me. I thought it was just entertaining me, but it was feeding my spirit. I used to listen to Kiss FM in the early 90s when I was driving around, you know, visiting businesses and stuff on behalf of the bank I used to work for. And I used to love things like MTV Raps, Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. Do you remember that? I'm showing my age now, you know, this old school stuff here. And my goodness, I loved it. But some of those things, they were entering me and they were causing things to grow in the wrong way. And it was feeding me. And Jesus said this one time to me. He said, you've got to ask for the true bread. I sat on the tube once and there was a guy reading the Sun newspaper. And I was just praying in the spirit. I didn't, you know, there's sometimes you pray in the spirit, you don't even know you are in the spirit. You've been there? It's a good place to be. And I didn't know I was in the spirit. I got on the tube, sat down. I was just, you know, just meditating on the word in my spirit and just praying under my, not Shakabahaya. You know, I was on a tube. You know, I was just like, you know, praying away, just gently, etc. And next thing I open my eyes, there's a guy sitting across from me reading the Sun newspaper. And in the spirit, it looked like he was holding soiled toilet paper. Now, you imagine that. Now, this ain't horse manure or bull manure. This human manure. The guy's holding up, reading this thing, as though he just wiped his backside on the newspaper he was then reading. Because in the spirit, that's what it looked like. I said, Lord, help me never to touch that filth again in Jesus' mighty name. I sever myself from that. Am I in trouble now with Rupert Murdoch? Do I look like I care? Hallelujah. John 6:32. He says, truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you what? The true bread. And Jesus interrupted me as I was reading that scripture, and he said, you've got to ask for the true bread. He said, you're swallowing sand, and you're asking for bread. And I started praying into that. You know when God gives you a prayer topic, and you have to drill down? You see, you could take it at a superficial level. You say, oh, that's nice. Oh, praise God. Or you could say, God, I know you've got something there for me. What do they call it in Spanish? It's profundo. Profundo, the depth, the deep stuff. That's where God lives. He lives in the deep. And in fact, if you read your Bible, you know the treasures are the treasures of the deep. Glory to God forever. So we have to get out our shovels and start digging. Dig into the word. Don't just skirt the word. Don't just superficially read the word or study the word or meditate on the word. Get into the deep stuff with God and watch what the Lord will do with your life. It's amazing. Turn to your neighbor and tell him to live a victorious life. We must disconnect from superficiality. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that was gangster rap out the window for me. No more Ice Cube. I was sad, man. I mean, NWA was one of my top, you know, Chuck D and Flavor Flav. Hey, Terminator X, baby. Glory to God. I mean, I could prophesy it to you now. I was telling Richard Roberts, I said, sometimes I was such a bad boy. I used to prophesy out of gangster rap. In fact, I did it on this altar once. You done run 100 miles, but you still got one to go. I remember prophesying that into it. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Lord, have mercy. Man, that superficial spirit can hang around you long time. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Look at what he says in verse 45, St. John chapter 6, verse 45. He says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So there's a hearing and a learning that comes from the Father via the Holy Spirit that needs to reprogram the way you see life. I don't see life the way I saw it anymore. When I'm reading a newspaper or I'm on social media, I do a lot of my news work on Telegram, because on Telegram you can get both sides of the story. Like the way that they're censoring stuff on Facebook and Instagram, they've knocked Russia today off the airwaves, etc. And so you can't get the other side of the story very easily. But, you know, thank God for Telegram. That's why I use it a lot. But every time that I'm reading a story or whatever, I'm looking for the ring of truth. Do you know what the ring of truth is? How many of you have done music and you've used a tuning fork? You know what a tuning fork is? Before the days where you could get an app on your phone and tune something, they used to have a fork called a tuning fork, and they would bash the fork off the thing and it would go ding. It would have a certain ring to it, which was the exact note that you were supposed to use then to tune your instrument, and that note set all of the other notes off in relation to that particular noise. That's what a tuning fork was. And there's a ring of truth, you see. You can train your spirit. You know, the Bible says that those who have trained their spirit to discern good and evil, or they've trained their senses. That's not talking about natural senses. That's talking about spiritual senses, where God can open your eyes, where God can give you smells and fragrances. There's sometimes where I can smell God. Last time it happened to me here, Prophet Tommy was prophesying over my wife and I. And literally the power of God just touched me. I felt the enveloping of the presence of God and the sweetest smell of God on that man. Wow. absolutely wonderful. Because to me, that's like a spiritual witness, right? So you can train your eyes. In fact, I remember the guy who mentored me and Nick was a guy called Paul Kelly, living in Dublin. He used to come down to Galway in the West, where we were living for a while. And he had a really extraordinary anointing on him when he was in the Spirit. And there was one time in America, I was doing a mission with him over there in New Hampshire, and there was one time in America where he was praying for a guy and laying hands on him, and he was prophesying to the guy. And somebody behind him had a business card to give to him because they had to go. They had to, like, catch a plane or something like that. So they're standing behind Paul Kelly, ready to give him this business card when he finishes praying with the other person. Now, Paul's got his hand in the air, like one hand on the guy, one hand in the air, like that, praying for the guy. And the next thing, he reaches his hand behind, takes the business card, puts it in his pocket, and lifts his hand to heaven with his eyes shut. Sign and a wonder. You could say the guy had eyes in the back of his head. But that's what it's like in the prophetic sometimes. Sometimes I can see the Holy Spirit moving on people. When I've got my eyes closed, I've got 360 vision. There was one time, I can't remember where we were. It might have been upstairs in the upper room where the presence of God was on us, and I could see the presence of God on somebody behind me to the right. So I just knew then after I was finished there, I just like go over and pray for that person. Do you see what I mean? Why? Because your spirit isn't limited to the faculty of these two eyes. I can confirm it in Scripture. You remember the prophet of God, Elisha, and the chariots are surrounding the armies of Samaria. King Ahab are surrounding Elisha the prophet, and his servant is worried about this. You know, I mean, they're going to mince us. You know, we are toast. And Elisha said, oh, gosh, small boy. Lord, open his eyes. And suddenly the Bible says the guy's eyes were open and he saw chariots and horsemen all around. And then he said, now, Lord, blind those other soldiers. And the Bible says that the Lord blinded them and he just took them out into the desert and you know, gave them something to eat and released them. What's that? That's prophetic vision. Thank God. But we can't get that being superficial. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. It's really important that we develop our spiritual senses. That means the sense of taste as well. God's given me a grace going into Africa particularly, but I've also used it in India, where if there's something that I, you know, there's something wrong with the food or the water or the drink or anything like that, sometimes when it touches my tongue, I can taste it. I don't know what it is, but dude, I ain't touching it. Bring a Snickers bar and your own water or whatever. But thank God that's kept me well and safe and healthy and blessed. Glory to God. I mean, you go somewhere, man. Woo, Jesus. I was sharing about the Kibera, or was it Madari? Sorry, it's Madari. Next to the Huruma football ground in Nairobi, Kenya. Massive slum. How many people? 1 million people used to live in that slum. 1 million people. They do a thing called flying toilet. Because there's no sewage, there's no power, there's no sanitation or anything like that. I mean, you go where you're planted. And they would do their business on a newspaper and they would do what they call flying toilet, which is they throw it then at the house of their enemies. Yeah. Now, you imagine going in to minister in a place like that. I mean, you're laying hands on heads that may have been the recipient of enemy fire. Do you know what I mean? You need grace. You need an anointing to do that. There's some people, they'll use their physical body as a point of contact for you for curses. In fact, there was a witch. Imagine a pastor's meeting in Cameroon. There's a witch comes up for the anointing. Yeah, I saw her coming. I said, Lord, do it extra. Bam! Like that. She nearly grabbed my hand like that. I just pushed her away like that. Next. Yeah, imagine. The nonsensical nonsense. I beat her grandfather to smithereens. Why would I be afraid of her? Bible says it. I'm preaching to you, young men, because you are what? Strong. And the word of God, what? Abides in you. And you what? Have overcome the evil one.
Amen.
So why am I going to be afraid? Hallelujah to Jesus. But you can't get that living in superficiality. to live in proper victory. And I don't know, you know, the way that God is separating light from darkness now, it's getting pretty dark out there. So we have to push into the light more. And that means we've got to ditch superficiality. I'll never forget, you'll love this story. In fact, you know what? Let's get some scripture on that first, right? Because you see, right, the devil, in the born-again experience, the devil isn't our worst enemy. Our own mind is. Okay, Pastor P, prove it. Romans chapter 8, let's have a look. Verse number 6. Are you getting this?
Yes.
You enjoying it? Am I in the right? Has he seemed kind of quiet? But I don't know, he might have you shouting hallelujah in a minute. Who knows? Praise God forever. Look at this. Romans 8, 6, it says this. For the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace.
Amen.
Now, one thing I like about that scripture is that now, in the 21st century, we have squeezed the two words mind and set together. And I think that's very helpful. So the mindset of the flesh is death. The mindset of the spirit is life and peace. So what are we going to be doing? Pushing where? Into the spirit. Which means we have to lay superficiality behind. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and tell him, to live a victorious life, we must disconnect from superficiality. Hallelujah to Jesus. Look at this other scripture, James chapter 4, verse number 4. James 4, 4. He says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. That's heavy medicine right there, right? So there's a choice. And also, like, because of where the world's going, where we're going, it's like that choice is getting further and further away. I wish I was Colin Dye now. I could do the splits. You know, he could do a full 180 as he was preaching. It's unbelievable. I saw him, he was 55 when he did it. I was like, Lord Jesus, I wouldn't be able to get up off the floor. I'm not even going to try. I'm not going even further than this. Hallelujah. My goodness, because that's the way it's going. It's separating out. I'll never forget. I was walking past. Where was I? I was down in central London, and I was walking past. You know those old-fashioned newsstands? No, Crouch End. That's where it was, outside Barclays Bank in Crouch End. There was like this wooden, old-school wooden news hut, if you know them, with the magazines hanging outside and everything like that. And it was about, it was 2002. I was walking up there with my mum. And as I was walking along, I saw this news outlet. And it was either Hello or OK magazine. You know those magazines? I mean, they're like A-level superficiality. A-level. And I saw the headline on the thing. And it said, how will Brooklyn cope? And I thought, oh, goodness, you know, is this a 9/11... is this, you know, something to do with the World Trade Center? And has there something happened now? Is it a chemical attack? How will Brooklyn cope? I thought, wow, what is this? David Beckham's wife. Man, I start praying when I see this headline. And it's to do with David Beckham's wife is pregnant with their second baby. And their first baby was called Brooklyn. And the world headline for that magazine was, how will Brooklyn cope? I'm thinking, my goodness me. You see, deep calls unto deep. So what we're feeding our spirit, what are we feeding our spirit? Our spirit needs spiritual food. And I've realized something, you see, the best way to keep your mind under, keep your mind, as the Bible says, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you may know the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, right? So there's a renewal of the mind that can happen. It needs to happen. But until your spirit is strong enough to dominate your mind, then your mind can run away with you, which is where mental sickness comes in. If we can teach people, feed your spirit, strengthen your spirit, pray often in the spirit. The Bible says when you pray in the spirit, you charge yourself up. So that's why we're doing these half nights and all nights. And I don't know if you've noticed that anointing is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. That's why we're doing it. Why? Because we're meaning business. I don't want to suffer what the world is suffering with their superficiality, reaping the fruit of the way they've been living. It's like there's a better way. We are the only gospel that they'll see. We are the only gospel that they'll hear. So the greater our testimony, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the only reason I drive such a fancy car is that it's a trophy. That's it. You know, I could easily drive, I don't know, what, a Smart or a Peugeot or something like that, right? Yeah, Peugeot. Hey, Daddy. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that is just a trophy. That's it. I'd rather bank the money. Because, you know, I like being able to think like, I'm sowing into the future of my kids. I want that. I don't want them in the struggle that I had. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want to be ready and able to like give them the very, very best so that they can focus on what God has called them to do. Praise Jesus forever. May that be our testimony in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him to live a victorious life. We must disconnect from superficiality. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, wonderful God. It's amazing how unalarmed you can become at the world descending into chaos when you're living in the Spirit. Wow, I recommend this way of life to everyone here. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, help us, Holy Spirit, to go deep with you, to fall in love deep with you, Jesus. So that our answer is yes. What's the question? Be Lord, Heavenly Father, in our lives, not just Savior, but Lord. Will you tell us to do a thing and it's done? No question. Your Lordship. Thank you, Jesus. Father, may we see superficiality for what it is. May we see it for the damage it can do. And Father, where we've been eating sand, give us the true bread. Help us to identify the ring of truth. That our spirit will be so sensitive to you, Lord God. Father, your word says in 1 John 2:27, howbeit that anointing will teach you all things. Thank you for that residual inner anointing. It teaches us truth from falsehood. It keeps us from those who operate in falsehood. Keep us in your truth, Lord God. Your word is truth. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Just rest in his presence right now. Call upon his name. There's something about going deep with God. It used to be an old song we used to sing way back decades ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless your holy name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Take us deep in your love. Take us into those holy places, Heavenly Father. Places that change us. Encounters that change us. Prophetic words that change us. As the world crashes and burns, help us, Heavenly Father, to be a light to the nations. Thank you, Jesus. Father, your word says, as soon as the Lord spoke to me, his word entered me and I received strength. Thank you that strength comes from your word, Lord God. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your voice, your leadership, your anointing and your depth in our lives, Lord God. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.